Hey, what's up, everybody? It is your boy Dave Noodles, and we are on the Type 88 show where we talk to people about how they turn their dreams into reality. And this guy right here has been on quite a journey. He's been around the world and back again, and he's going to tell us where he is right now, doing some amazing work in different communities. And just his story is just something else. So I just want to welcome Burn MD to the Type 88 show. What's up, man?
What's up, brother? Thank you for having me.
So, for anyone who doesn't know, maybe we could kind of go back to a little bit of the origins. Where did you grow up?
I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
No doubt.
And I was there until junior high school, and then I went to Jersey, and then I got out of there as soon as I could, and I went to the Navy for a very short time. For all people that don't know, the Navy stands for Never Again Volunteer Yourself, which is pretty funny considering what I'm doing with my life right now. From there went to my recruiter lied to me, told me they don't drug test you in boot camp for the first 30 days, and that was not true. So I was there for about a month and a half. And got stamped fit for full duty, got in shape, got paid a little bit, and then got sent back. Moved to Vermont for like 10 years, and went from Vermont, where went through a whole transition in Vermont. I like climbed the mountain to kind of find myself, and I thought I was going to bring that back to the world, but I ended up staying in Vermont and culturing, nourishing the hip hop scene there. And throwing shows, and I didn't really want to play the whole game of opening up for everybody else and doing the whole ticket, thing where you got to buy tickets and sell them to be a part of a show. So I just started throwing my own concerts. And so that parlayed into going doing some shows with Black Thought of the Roots around the country, and ended up getting invited to go to Colorado to grow trees and grow cannabis, and did some more stuff with music and cannabis out there, and
So
finally,
yeah, wait. So you, I'm seeing the pins on the Google map moving really quick. So let me just catch you real quick. So, Vermont, I don't even know much about Vermont. I know I've got some good syrup from there before, but that's really all I know, and that's horrible because I know there's a whole world out there. So maybe you could kind of just tell me how that experience was, because you just went there for, you thought for a short while, but you ended up really finding your home there. You were there for, you said, a decade.
10 years.
That's crazy.
Somehow I did 10 years in, well, I guess, no. Yeah, I did 10 years in Vermont, 10 years in Colorado. But
What a journey, bro.
Vermont, when I first moved to Vermont, some of my homies back in New York and New Jersey, they were like, Vermont, what state's that in? And I was like, what state's that in? Where'd you go to school? But yeah, Vermont is, the biggest city in Vermont, I feel like, is more like a village, and it's really cool there, really beautiful there, good people. I mean, there were some really great things about it, some great qualities to life there that kept me there for quite some time, and it's really peaceful. So that helped me feel good about what I was doing, and helped the hip hop scene wasn't humongous there, but it was not too far to be able to get to Boston or New York City or do I went to Maine. I was doing these New England runs, and it was pretty cool,
That's great. Just, you've always been about that grassroots. And also just taking things, kind of the littlest thing, and just continuously growing and turning it into something more. And I think that's something amazing about you. I wouldn't even have known where to start in Vermont, but here you are. You're like all right, I'm going to just go out there, see what happens. And then you ended up contributing to the culture, planting seeds, growing trees. And then you just like, all right, you link with Black Thought, and now you're on the West Coast. So that's just a special thing too. So now you're in Colorado from the beginning, the West Coast, or where'd you start there? Because now you moved to West Coast, you said.
Yeah. You know, the Vermont thing, it was an interesting transition. You know, it was like this cocoon thing where when I moved up there, I was in shell shock, you know, of being in the middle of nowhere, I felt like. And I was in the woods a lot the first few months I lived there. And, you know, my parents had just got divorced, and my father was like, come live with me and his new wife. And things were a little shaky. They got a little shaky. So I hitchhiked out of there eventually and got a spot up in Burlington in like the city. And, you know, I went through the motions of finding jobs and realizing like what I was good at, which was, you know, helping people feel better. And what that meant was like selling trees.
Yeah.
And so, you know, eventually I did really good selling Kirby vacuums. I was going door to door. And eventually I quit that when they were like, all right, you want to open up your own vacuum office? And I was like, oh man, I don't want to be the vacuum guy forever, you know? Yeah. So I got out of there, and eventually, just, you know, with what I raised hustling, I was able to throw concerts, you know, and eventually was able to transition from not having to hustle anymore to living off music. And, you know, by the grace of God, I was able to do that and not get arrested too much. Yeah, that it harmed me a bit, because I remember there's this spot in Vermont that, you know, it helped runaway kids, and I had this plan to help raise them a lot of money and throw concerts and support the kids, and I had a connection to them, and everything was going great. They really wanted it to happen, and then all of a sudden they were like, all right, give us your website, give us your information so we can, you know, go to corporate with it or whatever that was. And turned out they were like, no, there's weed, we can't do it. And so it was a shame, because I was going to help raise them hundreds of thousands of dollars in this plan to, you know, support their initiatives. And yeah, because of cannabis, it didn't work out. And so, you know, down the road, when I moved to Colorado eventually, after our friend DJ A-Dog passed away, or while he was still alive, we were talking about cannabis oils, and the kinds that were available to me at that time, I wasn't too impressed with. And so I kept in that realm of understanding and learning, and eventually met some people in Colorado that were making oil or wanted to make oil. So together we ended up doing it, and just off to the races, you know, finding people who were sick and being like, hey, do you want to try this? And I got to see so many incredible miracles.
Wow.
You know, and examples of people whose lives would change, animals whose lives would change, just, you know, incorporating this medicine into their diet in a new way. Not from smoking a joint necessarily, but by using these oils. And so from focusing on throwing concerts in Colorado and events for cannabis companies, you know, once you see somebody's life get saved, it's like, man, does rapping really matter that much anymore? You know, I make music too, and I love music, you know, and I love writing, and I love, you know, rapping, and I love everything about throwing a show and providing an opportunity for people to have an experience that they weren't going to have without me doing that. Yeah. You know, and just bringing a dream to reality, you know, and I love that. At the same time, you know, all that took a backseat once I saw these oils work. And so in 2014, a friend of mine was like, bro, you need a charity. And so eventually started Guerrilla Healer. and Gorilla, like GUE, unconventional healer. Because sometimes, especially where medicine is illegal, we might have to turn to unconventional ways when the conventional system is telling us to do poison. You know, chemotherapy is not medicine. For anybody that doesn't know that, it's poison, and it stimulates the body to react in a way where it helps itself. And cannabis, you know, some might say, oh, it's toxic, but it's not. It actually is, you know, anything in the wrong level, salt, table salt. If you have table salt in your closet right now, you take the whole thing, you're dead. You know, don't do that, you know. But nobody that we know of is without a pre-existing condition has died from an exorbitant amount of cannabis. You know, you go to sleep, you know, you get really dehydrated, all the things. And so ultimately, one of the, you know, there's so much to learn about cannabis and our endocannabinoid system, which is the reason why cannabis has the ability to work. And once we begin putting, you know, learning that alphabet, and we can start speaking about how to understand why, you know, why certain things are working and certain things are not working, and why so many people who have cancer are getting helped by cannabis. How is that even possible? And so that just really intrigued me. And to learn about fat burning, and to learn if you turn on the body, you stimulate the body's fat burning, the tumors will shrink and go away without any cutting or burning, and how fat burning is part of actually sustaining our life to begin with. And there's just so many cool you know, trains of thought that we can go on. But
you got into it and you just dived in. I remember you were, I see so many people now just involved, but I remember you're like a grandpa in this. Like you've been doing this for, you're like the grandfather.
I got the white beard now.
That wisdom growing on you, man. And I know some instances of people that have worked with you and they had positive results, and it's just amazing. You know, you had your dream, but then you also had this passion for just helping. And then you kind of were like, oh, wait a minute, I'm making a bigger impact with this. And you were seeing lives change, and you shifted your energy, right? And you basically looked like you went full force with this.
Yeah, I stopped making myself available for shows. And, you know, every once in a while, I go to some open mics that some friends were putting on, and, you know, keep it greased up. But for the most part, you know, definitely fully focused on how to better be of service to humanity and animal humanity.
That's right.
And, yeah, man, once you see a life get saved, especially when it's a child, you know, the first child I helped, you know, somebody asked me to help their cousin. And their cousin was a woman in her 40s who had leukemia, and she was very sick. She was getting multiple blood transfusions a week. She was on heavy narcotics for the pain. The person who told me that we could make oil, like, I helped this person make their first batch of oil by giving them some of my material for someone else. And then I was like, okay, I'm ready for, you know, I'm ready to help somebody now. I got somebody, you know, because he had this like machine, and he was like, all right, let's get to work. You know, let's start helping people. And when I was ready, he was feeling tired and sick or whatever it was. And he was like, all right, no. And he initially told me he would let me use it. But at that point, when I asked him, when I told him I needed it, he said no. So that was a shame. And at the same time, it inspired me to do it myself. And so, yeah, I made a couple of grams of oil for her, and she used it, and it helped her immensely. And then we made more oil. I made more oil for her, and she was using it. And it helped her so much that she got off of narcotics and she wasn't getting any more blood transfusions. She was getting multiple blood transfusions a week, and she was on heavy narcotics. Now she was getting no blood transfusions, no narcotics, just because of this oil. That's the only new thing she was doing. She was starting to feel a lot better, and she was looking better. And still, I hadn't met this person, just talking on the phone. And at the same time, she ended up getting, her family really wanted her to get a bone marrow transplant, which is something a lot of people with leukemia get. And she didn't want to do it. And long story short, she passed away a week and a half after she got the bone marrow transplant. She wasn't getting the oil that people agreed that they would help her get. And it was difficult to get it to her in the hospital for all the reasons. It wasn't happening. And she got sick, and she passed away. And it was really hard. Yeah. And soon after that, I got connected with somebody who, they had a two-year-old boy who had leukemia. And he was very sick. And we dove right in, you know, and yeah, within the first week he gained 2.5 pounds, and he was becoming a boy again.
How old was this young man?
Incredible. He was a little under 2.
Okay. 2 years so old. How's that? So and if you are young, there's kind of this stigma like, oh, you got to be an adult. Like,
yeah. I mean, his mother had no other choice. He was dying.
Yeah.
Everything that they tried, he had ATRT, which 10% of children, less than 10% of children are said to live from having that. And it's a very rare disease. And if they do their treatment, less than 10% of children will live.
Wow.
And their treatment is radiation and chemotherapy. For a baby. And mostly only kids get it because no adults are alive with it for the most part, because everybody dies with it.
Yeah.
I actually have another friend whose son had it. Thank God his son is alive and well. And he's one of the miracle cases. But little Robbie had a different story. And yeah, when he immediately responded incredibly to the cannabis oil, the high THC cannabis oil that his mother was giving him, that I made. You know, and it's important I say that because I wasn't treating him. It was only her responsibility to treat him, you know. And in Colorado, I was able to be the caregiver. But, it's a slalom of legalities you got to ski through in order to do things in the right way, I guess.
Totally.
One day I look forward to cannabis being deregulated, not descheduled, not rescheduled. And so when it's descheduled, it's taken off the scheduling. If it's rescheduled, they give it over to, generally, they'll give it over to Big Pharma so Big Pharma can control cannabis. That means you're not growing anything that Big Pharma is controlling. You know, you can still go to jail for that. And, Biden saying that anybody who got arrested for cannabis is going to get pardoned or whatever it is. But most people never went to federal prison for cannabis. Most people get arrested for cannabis in a municipality or in a state. And so that doesn't affect most people, you know, just keep that in mind. And so it's regulating this plant that's helping. And when you see, so I digress, when getting back to after the first week of this little boy getting helped, the doctors that he was working with at the children's hospital in the area didn't say, oh my God, this is a miracle, like, you know, thank God. They decided to take this information and sell their mother, little Robbie's mother, on doing more chemo and starting radiation on his brain, because they were worried for whatever reason. I think that they were worried about the money that they weren't going to get now that a different treatment was working for this little boy with a rare disease, however much money they get to work on him, because these were experimental treatments that they wanted to use. I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. And so all I know is that this was working and that happened. And then he got radiation on his brain. He had a seizure from that. And his mother got so scared, she came back to me crying and said, I don't want to do that anymore. We just want to use the oils. And he ended up getting a lot better.
Wow.
He was having a lot of, he was having other chemo treatments as well, which I believe eventually they stopped. And now, years later, he lived for years. The doctors, you know, against what they were saying. And eventually,
well, they said he was going to not live much longer.
Very much so. When I met him, he was on his way, yeah. You know. And and for years after that, he lived and got to experience life. And he is no longer with us today. You know, I loved him. You know, and that it's that kind of case where there's so much influence on a person working with that kind of situation where nothing else in life matters as much. And so it really rocked my world, you know, working with him and seeing it, you know, him progress. And I just wanted to do that more and more. And so I just kept going. And rapping and throwing concerts did not matter to me as much as helping people who were told they're going to die.
That's real, man. I feel like hip hop is just like this gateway to so many other things. It just, you know, it opens us up to communicating. It opens us up to breaking bread and talking and, you know, meeting people. So I'm guilty of the same thing. You know, not following the same path, but starting with hip hop and then hip hop just kind of helping me find another path, because what I was doing with hip hop, I was just so inspired, but then it just opens these doors. You start meeting these people, you enter this world, and then, you know, you entered the hip hop world, and then you're gripping onto things as you go in life, and you're like, wait a minute, this is something that's making a huge impact. And then you were like, let's double down, let's triple down on this, but let's keep hip hop in our life as a love and a thing we could share. It's something, man. I'm hearing, you know, a lot of stuff. It sounds like a lot of conflicts of interest with competing people with you. Like the people you were trying to help, there was someone else that was working to help this person, quote unquote, but it seemed like you were offering this alternative that wasn't worth much to them, that company or the organization, whoever was trying to help these people. It looked like you were like the conflict to them. Meanwhile, you had the right goal. You were just trying to help someone and solve the problem. You weren't trying to prolong it or keep it going to then give more treatment. You were trying to solve it. And it just sucks that seeing that so many times, you know, just good people out here trying to do good work, and then there's kind of like a bigger company or a bigger thing that is just like, well, this is our client. We're gonna do what we want. And I hate seeing it. I hate hearing these stories, man. I love hearing them, but
bro, hospital companies, they are business.
I lost you for a sec. Shit.
Well, you know, hospitals are businesses, whether we like to think about it or not. And, you know, there are people who are no longer, there are family members of people who are no longer alive because they were marginalized by the business of a hospital. And this is an unfortunate fact of life. And this is not going to stop until we learn enough about the industry to be able to take back control, or maybe not take back. I don't know if we ever had control, but to be able to understand about, what's going on behind those closed doors when decisions are being made for our lives or our family members' lives, and also to understand a little bit about medical sovereignty, a little bit about community, and a lot about education, because it is the vehicle for us to be able to grow. And, hip hop, for me, I grew up in Brooklyn, I remember always listening to music and wanting to know the words, and wanting to have my own words one day. And, there's different forms. Living hip hop, is educating. It is how, it might be how you dress. It might be how you talk. It might be how you walk. It might be what how you say it. It might be, how you spray it. There's a whole lot of aspects, dancing. Look how many careers come out of just what hip hop is, and ultimately, it brought me to the orphanage that I'm volunteering at right now because somebody asked me to go there and rap for the kids.
Wow.
So
what's the name of that orphanage?
The Marsh Children's Home. You can go to marshchildrenshome.org and check it out. It's an old website. God willing, I'll be able to help them update their website really soon and even take donations on it. I'm also working on a program, sprouts by sprouts.org. You can check that out as well.
Where is the Marsh Children's Home? What
here in lovely Acapulco, Mexico, which is where I am right now.
Nice. So it's just amazing, bro. You're literally taking grassroots to the next level, and again and again and again, and you're truly a giver, man. You have skills that if you went to another company and you had greedy intentions, you could probably be at a certain level money wise and financial fame, and you could have really chosen paths that could have taken you up very quickly, but it's just amazing to hear like your humble journey.
You're right about that, bro.
Because the knowledge that you have is are diamonds, bro. Like what you have in your.
One of my favorite rappers offered me $1 million. He said, "Well, he offered me $1 million to open up a dispensary."
Wow.
And the ultimate truth is that I told him no. But that wasn't how it went down. I told him yes, if. And that was to create something that didn't yet exist, which was ultimately a patient-driven institution, and which is the mission of Guerrilla Healing. And at that time, that just wasn't what he wanted to invest his $1 million in.
Yeah.
And completely understandable. The better bet was to do a recreational operation.
Yeah.
And better meaning in terms of objectively monetary.
Yeah.
Dispensaries that have tried and perhaps are trying to do what I want to exist. Though I still see a need for the type of institution that I feel needs to exist, which is ultimately a cannabis residential or temporary residential place for people to be able to come and get the medicine that they choose, or the oils that they choose that they decide they need, and be able to take them in adequate amounts and be able to get support while doing so, because a lot of families don't really know how to adequately support while this kind of campaign is being activated. You know, it's heavy to deal with. And it's not the easy, how many of us are nutritionists, you know, or dietitians, where we really know how to give the right kind of foods to somebody with cancer or whatever it is. And it's not easy, you know. And
I know, man.
Every one of us, you know, when we're in pain, we want to get out of pain immediately. It doesn't matter what kind of life form it is, you know. And yeah. So we all share that.
Yeah, man, I've seen it in many instances where someone older I know wasn't well, and they were just like, yo, I'm not feeling well. And the first thing was like, go here, right? And then the first thing from there was take these. And now, and then it's like, I've seen results of the person falling, dizzy, not eating, getting worse, falling, breaking stuff when falling because they're dizzy and have and not hungry. And I'm just like, damn, like, I always say, like, good defense is a good offense. Like, how do we kind of stop something early? Because now I know a few people or examples of people that are now kind of lost in this downward spiral. Because now to even get off certain things,
yeah,
it's near impossible, and they've grown.
And that's not just with benzos or opiates. That's in the world of epilepsy just as well, who also end up taking those kinds of drugs. But there's so many different kinds of ailments that have different kinds of pharmaceuticals that come along with real life symptoms, including some of them, and you might go blind from it, you know.
Yeah.
Literally, you might. See, like, there's a lot of things that are happening to people. It may or may not have to happen that way, you know.
That's where I'm at. I'm like, I feel like there's another way, and I always encourage, like, getting outside, walking. I know it sounds like I'm 15 giving this advice.
Walking.
I'm like, go outside, you know.
Having a seizure? Go for a walk. Noodle says, go for a walk. I'm just kidding.
But, yeah.
You know, everybody's different. Two twins with the same issue might need a different treatment. Bottom line.
Yeah.
You know, what works for me might not work for you. You know? And what works for you might kill me. You know? And so, you know, we all will benefit. We all benefit from individual care. Bottom line. Being able to make our own decisions. You know how many mothers got their children taken away from them because they weren't able to make their own choices for their own children? You know? Or I know a mother who, she had to sue the state to have her child, who was getting poisoned by chemo, legitimately. He was dying, and the chemo, they wouldn't stop giving it to him. She had to sue the state for them to stop giving him chemo. She won. He only used cannabis oil, and he's alive today.
Wow.
Thank God. Landon Riddle. Look him up.
Wow. It's a fight. No matter what fight you're in, right? You're either fighting off competitors, or you're the little guy fighting off the big guys. But I love the fight that you've chosen. You're like, no matter what, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to find ways to help people. And how does someone even find you? Do you find them? Is there this? Because
I work off referrals. So, yeah. You know, people.
Old school.
When they're at, maybe when they're at their worst, there's this grapevine that they tap into to find me. I don't know. But,
got it.
Also, there's some videos that I put out there. If you go to the number 7easysteps.org, you can see how to make cannabis oil in 7 easy steps. People see that video and a couple other videos that I've put out there to learn how to make your own oil, and that might circulate my name. But, you know, I don't really think I get a lot of people hitting me up from that video. I think it's just people maybe hearing through the grapevine that I might be somebody they can talk to when they don't want to die.
Yeah, and it's not like it's something you could just put thousands of dollars into advertisements either. It's promoting what you're doing, there's this stigma on most social medias that, right? Like, I don't even know if you could buy an ad to let people know what you do.
I don't know. It's not something that I set into, to, you know, when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, I go sell baseball cards on the street, on the beach. And I could have done whatever I could have done to do that. You know, when I threw concerts, I'd make flyers, when I take out ads, this kind of thing. I don't know why I don't go harder than anything else I've ever done. But for some reason, I only work off of referrals and I'm not doing marketing. And,
yeah,
you know, it's finding people who need it. Are there more people that need it? Absolutely. Is there more people than oil? Yes, always, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, or maybe not always, maybe one day they won't be that. That won't be the case. But, yeah.
No, it's real. You, we know our capacities. So it's good that you're doing, and you only have so much time, and it looks like you're making the most of it already.
You know, I always think I could do more.
Yeah. I'm seeing a lot of friends at that doorway, that walkway, where it's like, do a lot of, I don't know how many staff and different people you have doing what you're doing, but I'm seeing a lot of my friends hitting that, they want to do more, but they're pressed because their time and their is only so available if when they're doing it. And I see a lot of them kind of hitting this point where they have to kind of replicate themselves or add an assistant, add a social media person or whatever it is to kind of do those things. That's even saves them 7 hours, 5 hours a week that gives them that extra time. But
it's true. You know, The best managers are the best managers who find the best managers, you know, and you know, the best leaders find the best leaders. And if we can all lead, you know, along the way, then everybody can play our position. And if everybody's willing to get our hands dirty, then we could really get far.
Real talk. So true, man. So how long are you out there in Mexico for?
Yeah, so music brought me out here. People wanted me to come rap around this event called Anarchapulco. Anarchapulco was recently featured on HBO Max in a documentary called docuseries called The Anarchist, which is pretty crazy. So did a bunch of rapping around that and got invited to the orphanage here to rap for the kids. And there's a turtle sanctuary here as well that I really love. And
cool.
You know, ended up coming back to Mexico a couple of times. Now, you know, basically there's 70 kids at this orphanage that I love. They call me uncle. I gained 70 nieces and nephews and a grandma. You know, the woman that runs the home is an 89-year-old phenom, and she's incredible. And I feel honored to be able to support them. I was inspired. My friend Elias Clay, who's also a rapper, you can look her up. She's dope. She was doing this little arts after school program with them. And we were seeing what they were eating. And I just kept talking about it. And she was like, well, you know. And I said, I want to build them a greenhouse and a garden. And she was like, all right, well, that's going to take a while. Let's start with sprouts. And that'll be immediate. So we did that. And it was a great idea. And she learned how to grow sunflower sprouts from our friend Brigitte Mars, who's an awesome herbalist and teacher, all this fairy godmother kind of person. And so they started to eat salad, and they weren't getting any greens. They're just getting donated food, you know, 210 meals a day of donated food.
A lot
from
of
gas stations
fast
and
stuff.
From, it's crap. Fake milk. It's bread with sugar. It's cereal.
Duplicated stuff. Yeah. You're not getting so much value.
Their lunch is rice and beans. You know, once a week they have eggs. They really don't have meat. And sometimes they don't have food. And so, you know, it's sad to see Jovita tell a story about it and cry, you know, when they have to pray because they don't have food. And And they're considered one of the more fortunate orphanages. Wow. And it's most of the kids there come from the mountains and they're indigenous. They don't speak Spanish at first. They speak their indigenous language, which is Tumsavi, which means the language of the rain. It's beautiful. They're beautiful kids. They're really smart. And so my project for them is the Marsh Children's Home Food Independence Program, so that they can grow enough food to be able to have the independence to not have to depend on donations solely to eat, and to be able to generate revenue back into the home so that they can free up resources, you know, energy to focus on other things. And so God willing, that'll continue to happen. And some beautiful connections are being made, currently building the hydroponic system in the home, and working with some local incredible organizations that I look forward to announcing soon, to have an even bigger garden for them as well.
That's beautiful, my brother.
And yeah, you can follow that on sproutsbysprouts.org.
Yeah, let me pull that up real quick for anyone on the video side.
It'll lead you to a Give Butter campaign. And there's a bunch of videos and some updates. And check out what we're doing.
Here we go.
Got a little bit of support so far, and
let's keep it going. Yeah, check it out. Sproutsbysprouts.org. I'm going to put it in the description.
Thanks.
My God just continuously finds ways to plant trees around the world.
Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely.
Bro, you're inspiring. Just to A lot of people use knowledge the wrong way, or they use it for their well-being only. Here you are, continuously planting seeds everywhere, just in a place. I was like, oh, he's probably in the West Coast, probably just chilling. This guy's in Mexico helping kids
with food too. You know, that's really what it's all about.
Makes you really appreciate what you have, right? When you're literally there firsthand. So many of us see it on TV, or that we see an ad come up and we're like, oh, what's this all about? But then, bro, you're literally there.
Bro, check it out. When I used to work in the music industry, you know, I was focused on rapping and how to get my rapping out there and how to make money doing all this stuff. So I was throwing concerts as well, and which put my rapping out there as well. And, you know, the whole thing, and focused on money is really stressful. You know, I was fat. I was eating out all the time. Wasn't taking care of myself well, and smoking a lot of blunts, you know, and cigarettes too at that time. And yeah, it was just really a life full of stress. And when I began to live a life of service and not focus on hustling and not focus on money, somehow I was living in the best places ever and feeling richer. Even though, you know, there were times where there's times where my pocket is not as heavy as other times. And, you know, the fact is that when we're working with Creator, you know, I don't have to bow to a man. And I don't have to answer to a human being in that way. And so as long as I can be of service in the ways that I feel that Creator wants me to, I feel like the path will be paved, and, you know, so to speak, the wind will be beneath my wings. And, you know, we have to really pay attention to what the truth is, and following the truth has kept me here. You know, there's different truths. There's my truth, and then there's Creator's truth. You know, and my truth could be different than Creator's truth. And my truth could be different than your truth, even about the same story, you know, or the same experience. And so what I'm getting at is that I see so many people, like you said, just focusing on being self-serving, because that's all we know. How am I going to eat? How am I going to feed my family if I don't focus on this? And, you know, for many of us, that reality, we're locked into it. And it's offensive to think anything else, you know? And at the same time, all I know for me, you know, I'm not in that category of the same people generally, because I don't have children, you know, and I don't have the same responsibilities, though we all have different responsibilities, right? And so, you know, maybe that allows me to make these choices. And I know that our life is the sum of our choices. So we have to really move carefully, you know? And that's something that I've always been about, is like, when I move, it's got to be the right move. And I don't move all the time, but I feel like I do my best to take the right steps, you know? And when I take a step, offer what I've learned, so that, because I don't want to be here alone, you know what I'm saying? And the only reason why I'm here building this hydroponic system for the kids is not because I'm an expert at building a hydroponic system, it's because I saw what they were eating. I know how I grew up eating crap and feeling like crap, and eventually growing up to feel not good older, and I know how detrimental that was on my life, you know, and how depressed I was, all the things. And I want more for us. And these kids don't have, their only opportunity is, like when I had a dog, his only opportunity to be happy was for me to be responsible. I have the ability to respond to what I see is needed. And in that way, when I go to this place and I see 70 kids who have so much love, and they just want to feel love, to be loved, to share love, to be loved, you know, to eat.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, like, people say, hey, why don't you go help these people? Why don't you go help those people? Well, Creator brought me here, and I could respond to it, or I can do what everybody else is doing and go back to my life and focus on money. Or and that's not what my life was, making oil for other people, and, you know, but at the same time, thank God, through some beautiful people who have been helping me run Gorilla Healer, gorillahealer.org. You could also go to bestkoshercbd.com if you don't know how to spell Gorilla Healer.
I'm going to drop all the links for everyone.
Dope. And that can, you know, that's where I have incredible solventless CBD oils and CBG and probiotics and mushrooms. And that's also funded my ability to be here and, you know, do this for the kids. And at the same time, I've gotten some support from other people at that campaign, sproutsbysprouts.org, and Acapulco, the event that I spoke about that's on HBO. They have agreed to support the farm project that I'm, the food independence project that I'm doing for the kids. So, you know, just constant reminders that what I'm doing is a step in the right direction, and that the, you know, Creator wants this to happen. And so
beautiful.
That's all I could really focus on right now, except for the fact that I'm wearing a Johnny Hurley shirt. Johnny Hurley is a hero. He was a hero. He got taken out. He was in Arvada, Colorado, and this crazy guy went, this guy went nuts. He went to, he killed a police officer in the daytime in town square where people were everywhere. He walked up on him from behind, shot him with a shotgun. And then he shot out some police cars and waited for police to come so he can have a shootout. And he went back to his car and changed his gun, came back out, and everybody ran away and hid. The police saw him. They hid. They were afraid of this guy. They weren't ready to come out yet. The only person that ran up to this guy was my friend Johnny Hurley. And Johnny Hurley shot and killed the guy that killed the police officer. And the guy was wearing a bulletproof vest. Johnny was wearing jeans and a t-shirt. And he was a concealed carrier. And finally, the police came out because they didn't feel the threat was as crucial for whatever reason. And the reason was, in my opinion, that there was no more gunfire because Johnny neutralized the situation. So they came out, and one police officer saw Johnny and took the drop on him because Johnny's back was turned. And he shot Johnny in the back with a hollow tip bullet, killed him.
Wow.
And so you can see Johnny's story at herohurley.org.
Okay.
And started the Friends of Johnny Hurley Foundation to raise awareness, to learn about what happened, to hopefully, to God willing, protect people more, because Johnny followed the law. He was able to protect himself. He was able to protect the community. He legally carried a gun. He got killed for it. And the police were justified by the district attorney for using lethal force. So everything happened legally, and nothing is going to get changed. And you can legally get killed for legally defending yourself in the community. And that, like, that's really dangerous. That's really, that's a dangerous situation. Like,
yeah. You know,
and so there's a lot to get into there. We don't have too much time, but it's worth learning about more about, you know, medical sovereignty, more about food sovereignty, more about, you know, our right to protect ourselves, you know, individual sovereignty, freedom, which we have for, we, you know, maybe a little bit longer in this country, unless we smarten up and start paying attention to our selves a little differently.
That's real, man. It's real. There's, everyone's fighting a different fight, right? And, you know, he was doing, that's a sad story to hear. I'm sorry about your friend. And, you know, here you are, you know, spreading the message of him, spreading the message of healing, helping, and education. You've literally put out information saying, oh, you can't afford to buy this? Here's the information of how to go do it on your own. And that's rare, bro. That's rare to just be able to... My friend right here, he's literally... Bro, your choice in life, I'm just inspired by. Just, you know, you answering the call, and you didn't just keep letting it ring. You were like, all right, Mexico, let's go. I'm gonna go out, and then you kept seeing opportunities to help someone. It's crazy, bro. I know some people that are just the opposite. They'll call when it's a beneficial thing for them. And then I just know some people that are just so selfless that would literally give the shirt off their back. And it's just amazing to hear these stories, bro. And I don't even have to say good luck. I already know that you're where you're supposed to be on this journey. And I'm just excited to see what you do next, and how the Sprouts and everything in Mexico goes for you, and the whole little crew out there.
Thank you. Well, good luck still helps. All prayers still help.
Yes,
you know, all support helps. So I'm grateful that you asked me to come on your show, and you know, to hear these kind of reflections from you are, you know, just more chalk in the column keeping me here, you know. And so thank you.
Of course, man. There's so many things for us, right? Like, we're constantly bombarded with information, and it's like, I want to help myself. I want to take care of myself. What are some just kind of natural tips you would just give to anyone who's just like, maybe they are breaking out a little, you know, of course everyone is different, right? everyone doesn't need the same things, but just like on a day to day, like what works for you? What are some things that you do that kind of have helped you go from, you said, someone who was eating not the best stuff, putting things in your body that wasn't the best, and it was affecting how you were feeling, to now being in a mental space to have blocked out, I don't want to say the bullshit, but like a lot of stuff that could tempt us to be like, all right, I'll just take this job, even though I hate it. And then I literally saw someone yesterday. They were like, I got work at 4 a.m. I drank till 2. I drank the pain away because I didn't want to be there, but I had to be. And I literally sweated out. And I was just like, I don't know how sustainable that is. You've kind of created this sustainable lifestyle. What are just maybe a few like natural health things that have worked for you? You're in a whole different space now, it looks like. And, you know, from someone who told me that wasn't feeling the best as a kid and going through it, and you look very much at peace now.
I think I'm cut from a different cloth in some respects. And what I mean is, not everybody wants to bake a cake. Most people want to go buy it. Most people want to compromise. Most people choose, maybe not want, most people choose to compromise our day so we can go pay somebody else to give us something that allows us to get to the next part of our day, which we get to enjoy very little of it because we have to get up the next day to compromise most of our day to do it again. The cloth I'm cut from is where I became very depressed as a teenager, and I feel like if I wasn't able to bake a cake, I would have killed myself a long time ago or died from a different way a long time ago. And so, you know, somehow I was inspired as a kid to go sell baseball cards on the beach. You know, somehow I was inspired to want to know the words of the song I was listening to and to one day have my own words. I was inspired to, you know, like to want to touch the electric rod of life. And not everybody thinks about that. You know, some things that really have helped me, I think, meditation, learning how to breathe, you know, learning to use my breath in good ways. That's big, because I was very responsive before, where now I'm able to be more observant and without responding immediately, you know, to things. And that saves us a lot,
yeah,
as human beings. Drinking a lot more water changed my life. Finding an incredible water source, you know, that really changed my life. Feeling a different quality of life, a new me, so to speak, more alive. I see most of us not drinking enough water and compensating for that with coffee and other things, because most of the time we are eating when we're actually thirsty. And so, you know, I think psychedelics really helped me have the epiphany of understanding how delicate life is, and how, you know, here's a simple fact, right? Not everybody believes in creator or source energy or whatever, but let's say you do. To connect in the way where if I see God in you, I see God in any living thing, any creation, I'm going to treat it differently than if I didn't. That very notion right there, you know, and let's, like, to take the God out of it, let's just say to treat everything with loving kindness, with respect, you know, it's, let's close out on this, the 7 grandfather teachings that I am and practicing and being taught by a Native elder and Native American tradition of Odawa. and which is, as we know, at Ottawa, Canada, but Odawa is a nation. And so the teachings are this. The first teaching is truth, to understand truth the way Creator understands truth. The second teaching is honesty, to be honest with ourselves about Creator's truth. The third teaching is courage, to be courageous with the truth. The fourth teaching is bravery, to be brave with the truth, which is different than courage. Courage is knowing what to do with the truth, and bravery is doing it. The fifth teaching is respect, being respectful with the truth. The sixth teaching is humility, being humble with the truth. And if we live these six teachings, the seventh teaching is revealed, which is wisdom, to live wise with the truth. If we live wise, and these teachings are to basically learn how to live love in a practical way. If you look up the seven grandfather teachings on the internet, one of the teachings will be love, but that's not actually the correct way. This is a way to practically live love. If we live true, honest, courageous, brave, respectful, humble, and wise, without judgment, we will live love. And with that, humanity can continue to protect creation at all costs and in every direction. And this is my prayer. May we walk our prayers.
Bert, I just thank you. You know, I know you're having a busy day. I appreciate you, you know, sitting down with me from across the world. I wish you nothing but blessings on the journey. I can't wait to, you know, see you in person, but it was just so great to chop it up with you. And I had no clue about a lot of this stuff, so I'm just so proud to just see you continue to evolve as just a giver, a healer, and just someone who's out there just trying to make the world a better place.
I wish you the same. You're working hard and doing good work, and you know, may your light continue to shine and get brighter. And thank you for caring the way you do, and for sharing what you care about the way you are. And you know, we're all just human, and it's good that we get to eat food and that we get to have a place to sleep, and that we get to do it together, you know, and in one form or another.
Yeah. My brother, you're always welcome back when you come back to the East Coast. So let's definitely grab some food, or even plant food, whatever you want to do. I'm open to it.
Sounds great. Shout out to Projectivity.
Shout out to Chris. He recommended us to connect on this. And here we are.
That's what's up. Shout out to everybody back there. Glaze, Mike Cash, you know, Paulie Moores, everybody back there. Shout out. Staten Island, New York City, Vermont, you know, Jersey, my cousins, my family. Thank you all. Thank God. Thank you, Noodles. Peace and love.
Peace and love, bro.
Good health.
Everything.
Not in that order. All right. Blessings.
Blessings.